Take your Bibles, turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll read verses 14 through 19 together, and then we'll have a special this morning, and then I'll come back and preach. It looks like you're going to get out on time, or maybe even a couple minutes early today. Keyword is maybe. All right? But I'll do my best to be kind to you. Besides, I'm hungry. I don't even know what I'm having for lunch, but it doesn't matter. Probably not much. I'll probably have to stop and get something on the way home. What's that? That's fine. I can suck it down. What she feeds me, I will swallow. Amen. Romans 8, verses 14 through 19. And let's read this passage responsively. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. We need this truth this morning. Lord, I pray that by the end of this sermon that you would get some of the love back that you deserve. May we realize how much you love us and how much we are to love you. May we gain a truth that will secure us, help us, give us the stability to take what the world has to push out so that we can take the gospel to them, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to help you today. Keep your Bible open. We'll look at some of these words here in a little while, but if you'll look at me for a few minutes and let me talk to you. Family and home are two of the sweetest words in the English language to me. I'm so glad God likens our relationship with him in Christianity as family. He talks about our home in heaven. God is our Father. Heaven is going to be home, and it is God's home. He likens his love for the church as a husband and a wife. Notice all of the family relation that is used in reference to Christianity. It's a shame we Christians don't act like it. It's a shame that sometimes we act more like the world does with their family than we do with God's family. Now, I kind of feel sorry for the world who seeks for love and comfort in all the wrong places. They really do. They seek for it the wrong way. I love my family. I love my wife. 28 and a half years she's put up with me. Hard to believe, isn't it? And yet she was still nice to me when she introduced me yesterday. She knows my faults better than anybody but me. I love my children. I really do. I love all three of my children, Josh and Jeff and Mindy. I rejoice with them. I enjoy watching them turn into young adults. And I've got a daughter-in-law, and I've got a daughter that's working on a son-in-law. And I've got another boy he's just a good young man, and someday he'll catch this thing about dating. And he's doing fine. I love my in-laws. Let me say that again. I love my in-laws. I love my mother and father-in-law. I love my daughter-in-law. Matter of fact, we don't have an in-law relationship. And I'm going to tell you why. My wife and I are one. Therefore, her parents are my parents. My son and my daughter-in-law are married. They're one. Therefore, my daughter-in-law, Ruth Ann, is my daughter. Got a text from her this morning, and I usually text her several times a week, and I told her I was praying for her, this, that, and the other thing. She said, thanks, Dad. She said, love you and Mom, too. That's the relationship God wants us to have. It shouldn't be that it's, you don't have the same bloodline I have, so I don't have to love you and I only have to tolerate you. That's pretty sissy Christianity. Aren't you glad God didn't do that to you? I often say that the church is my family. Did you know we're all related in the church? Because we have the same Father, God. That means, Brother Jimbo, I love you like I love my family, because you are my family. Amen. And I love Miss Loretta like family. I love Wally as well. I love Miss Arlene. I told her I couldn't wait for them to get back. I said, my mom went to Florida. I'm glad my other mom's coming home. And I got to see Miss Arlene. Now, she's not quite old enough to be my mom, but she's getting pretty close. She was saying it. I wasn't, I promise you. I love Scott like a brother. Matter of fact, I've spent more time with Scott in the last 6 weeks by far than my brother in the last year. I spend more time with you all than I do my own biological family. You say, well, why is that? Well, I got some in Florida and some in Ohio and some in Kentucky and some God knows where they're at. I'm closer to y'all. I often say church is the three time a week family reunion. And when you're not here, it's just not the same. You see, I love the Grace Baptist Church family. I love that word, family. I love the word home. I'm going to say something. I did not ask this person's permission. And I'll probably find out whether I should have later or not. But my wife has a very unique situation. She doesn't know her biological dad. When she was born, shortly thereafter, her biological dad took off from mom and left her. And after we got married, I spent 7 years trying to find that rascal. Finally found him. She wanted to find him, not necessarily to build a relationship, but to make sure that somebody got the gospel to him to see if he'd get saved. Took me 7 years to find him. Found him, had a pastor friend not far from there, and he went there, led him and a current wife and one of his children to the Lord, and he saved. And praise the Lord for that. I think they talked on the telephone one time, either before or just after that, I don't remember. We were going to work it out, and I've told the story to meet somewhere, and Brother Heil said, just don't complicate things. And have never spoken or talked to one another ever again. Now, wait a minute. When she was just a little girl, her mom remarried to what my wife calls dad. It's her stepdad. But it's dad. He adopted her. She took on his last name. Until she took my name. Glory to God. And she's had mine longer than his. Now, I say that to say this. She was legally adopted by her, what you would call stepdad, by her dad. And it always has been dad. She talked to him. She talks to her folks every Saturday, usually. And when she was on the phone yesterday, I happened to be running by. I said, tell mom and dad. I said, hey. And she did. And you say, well, that's a stepdad. No, that's her dad. That's the one that raised her. That's the one that put food in her belly. It's the one that took care of her needs. It's the one who, it's the only dad she's ever really known. Is it her biological dad? No. She doesn't even know that one. But this one's been far more of a dad than the other. Miss Sue, could you push that door shut? I don't want to bother whoever's out there. Now, let me say this. I married in to her family. Guess what? When I married into her family, I'm family. I really believe this is a true statement. If you asked my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, they call me son. Now, my father-in-law and I don't always see eye to eye. Let me rephrase that. Rarely do we see eye to eye. But about a year or two ago, they were here, and I sat down and had a talk with them. I said, look, I said, you know, none of us are getting younger, but... And I had gone through some some tough patches with some folks passing away and helping them with their wills, and it was a mess with some folks, and I just wanted to make sure everybody's affairs were in order to where there wasn't trouble. And I said, nobody wants to talk to y'all about this, and I guess I got nominated, so here we go. And I said, does somebody have medical power of attorney in case something happens to y'all? I said, because if something happens to both of you, they can take everything that you have and anything that you want legally. It's all wiped away. And they began to talk, and we began to talk, and I said, I'm not looking for it. I just want to help you. Let me pastor you for a few minutes. A few weeks, matter of fact, I think the very next week, they called me and said, Craig, we thought about what you said, and this is my father-in-law. He's not the most tender person in the world, and he's not a bad man. He's just a bit gruff, Vietnam vet, and thinks a little differently than the average person in the world. And he said, my wife's sister, she's got the financial power of attorney to help. He said, but we've been thinking, we want you to have medical power of attorney. I said, me? He said, yeah, you deal with this. And Deb might be a little too sensitive, and we know you'd coach her, but you're more of a son to us than our own son, so we want you to take care of it. I said, I'd be honored to. Can I tell you something? That's an honor for me. That my in-laws call me son. It's not, it's the son-in-law. I don't have mother-in-law troubles. Praise the Lord. She lives in Minnesota and I live here. We have no trouble at all. Now, my mother-in-law knows. I'll help her to the very last moment. I have no problem helping them. That's family. When you marry into family, you literally marry into family. Why fight it? Might as well enjoy it. Well, you just don't know my in-laws. I have some that you don't know either, but I still get along. There is much of my family as my blood family or my church family. Now, I've said all of this to show you one of the most wonderful and sweetest truths in the Bible. We see it here in Romans chapter 8. God tells us that, I'm about to come unscrewed, so if I get a little excited, just holler amen a little louder. Did you know that when you were born with a dead spirit? Because you were born into sin. And the moment you were conceived in sin. Case in point, my son and daughter-in-law have had two babies go to heaven before they were birthed. Say why? Because they were conceived in sin. That's why children can die. Now, hang in there. I'm going somewhere with this. But did you know when you get saved, you have a spiritual birth? John chapter 3, verses 4 through 7 is a story of Jesus and Nicodemus. You don't need to turn there. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Mm-mm. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And the moment you get saved, you have what they call the new birth, a second birth. And at that moment, God gives you his genetics so that you can have eternal life. Yes, you literally get the spiritual genetics of God. That's what the word regeneration means. It means regeneticized. You actually take on eternal genetics to where you'll live forever in heaven.
Amen.
That's enough to make you want to shout. Amen. Not only were you born physically, but then you get born spiritually after you get saved. But watch this. I'm about to come unscrewed. That's enough to be thankful for. But when you read Romans chapter 8, God says that we received the spirit of adoption.
Amen.
Did you know God gives you spiritual life, but then he adopts you into his family? He doesn't just give you spiritual life. He gives you spiritual life, and then He adopts you into his family. Wow. That means this. Our spirit gets eternal genetics and it is able to live forever in heaven, but then God adopts us away from our father, the devil. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I want to show you something. When you were born physically, you were born to your father, the devil. Look at verse number 44. Now watch this. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. Notice it says you're of your father, the devil. Your physical birth, you were born to a father who was the devil. Just like my wife was born to a man who she never met, she was born to someone else. But when, I hate using the terminology here, but when my father-in-law stepped in, he saved her and then adopted her. He did both. He not only rescued her from the being forsaken by one, but he adopted her into the family. And that's exactly what God does with you. You not only get born in spirit, but then he adopts you, body, soul, and spirit, into his family, away from your original father, which is the devil. Now, I'm not saying her biological dad was the devil. That's not where I was headed with that. Today, I want to show you how much God loves you and how much our families and our church is to be, how we're to act and love towards each other. God gave us these relationships, and he wants us to have all of that love available to him and to us. Now, number one, and I must hurry, God chose us. We just have to accept him. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He decided before you were ever born that he would love you enough that if you would accept eternal life, he would adopt you. God chose you. That doesn't mean you've chosen him, but he chose you. He wanted us so badly that he gave us Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you know that he gave the only perfect, true, and begotten Son so that we could become the children of God? Heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, become the sons of God?
That's good.
Story is true. There were two boys playing on the playground one day, probably 10, 11 years old. And the one boy looked at the other and said, did you know your mom and dad aren't your mom and dad? That's fighting words. He said, yes, they are. He said, no, they're not. He said, I heard the adults talking, and they're not your real mom and dad. They began to argue back and forth, and finally the little boy who was being talked about got so mad that he just tagged into the other boy. He went to fists. He started duking up on him. Beat him up pretty good. They got into a fight. Mama got called to the school. She picked him up and took him home. And she said, son, why were you fighting? He said, because I was defending you, Mom. She said, what do you mean you were defending me? He said, well, that boy told me that you're not my real mom and Dad's not my real dad. By that time, Dad had come home, and she said, I want you to talk to Dad about this. And he did. Mom came back into the room, and they sat down and said, son, we need to tell you something. That boy you hit today was exactly right. When you were just born, your mama didn't want you, but we did. And we got to choose you, and we took you home, and we've been your mommy and daddy ever since. And we're the only mom and dad you know, because your real mom didn't want you. He began to cry a little bit. And his mama tenderly looked at him and said, "Son, the boy you hit, his mama and dad didn't have a choice. They didn't choose him. We chose you. You're who we wanted. They got what they got. But we made a choice. And we got the one we wanted because we got you." Can I tell you something? Child of God, God chose you.
Amen.
God chose you. You didn't just get stuck. The God of the universe chose you. Whether a mom or a dad or both have forsaken you, it matters not. God chose you. Whether you know who your parents are, both or any or not, doesn't matter. God chose you. He didn't have to choose you. He wanted to. And by the way, he still wants to. Why is it that we rebel against God? Why is it that we don't want to let God be our Father? So God chose us. We just have to accept him. Number two, I'm about to get excited. Getting born again is a spiritual birth. It's not a physical birth. It is a spiritual birth. John 3, verses 4 through 7, and won't take time to go back there. It says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Amen. Those are two different words. By the way, if you look at that, one of those spirits capitalized and one spirit's not. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is our spirit. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves into your life, and he then indwells you, and that seed is conceived inside you, and that is what is reborn as your spiritual life. And it is done through the Holy Spirit of God. That gives you eternal life. Now watch this. But God didn't just choose to give you eternal life. He chose to adopt you into his family. My wife doesn't know her biological dad. She's not going to get any inheritance from him. Don't even know if he's still alive. Not ever been a part of his family? Not going to be. But we know which one adopted her. And he still claims her. He chose her. And she becomes joint heirs with her sister and her brother. Can I tell you something? God chose you. You got born spiritually after you were born physically. By the way, that's why a baby can't get baptized and go to heaven. Just so you know. You see, you were born with a dead spirit. It's got to come to life. Salvation gives you spiritual genetics. It gives you eternal life. And you still have the Father, the devil, influencing your life, even though you got saved. I hate to say it this way. You got two daddies. You got a father who's a devil. My children don't. You got your father, the devil, and then you have God the Father. I'm going to make a statement here. That's why sometimes it's dangerous to start looking back into your past if you have a past similar to my wife's, because then you could stir things up that you don't want to get stirred up. Why do you want to stir up things from your father, the devil? Well, he was my first one. He never took care of you. So all he wanted to do is send you to hell. Everybody doing all right? Can I tell you something? Just because they had the ability to biologically birth you doesn't mean that they loved you. And all of your love in the world isn't going to change that. Once you get saved, the father of this world no longer wants you and he forsakes you. Did you know the moment you get saved, the devil says, "Ooh, now I'm going to try to destroy you even more." He forsakes you. You're of no value to him. So, God chose us when we got saved. Getting born again is a spiritual birth. Number three, God also adopts us after we get saved. Look at Romans chapter 8 again. I want you to follow along with me. Look at verse number 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," that means people that are saved, "they are the sons of God." Of God. Notice that word, sons. That's adoption. That's parenting and children. Now watch this. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is a Hebrew word, and it means daddy, virtually. It literally means daddy. You know, there's a difference in being called father and being called daddy. My daughter, every once in a while, she'll get... Let me rephrase that. Once in a while, she reveals her dorkiness. She just gets a little goofy, and she'll be at college or something. She'll say, this is my father, and she'll talk about me being her father. And she says it just like that, being goofy. But I promise you one thing. The first time she sees me after we haven't seen each other in a little while, it's daddy. She's got a problem. Daddy, can I talk to you? It's not father. It's daddy. You got a heartache? Daddy, can I talk to you? Yeah. Be glad to. Man, I love that word. Daddy, don't you call me that. But may I say this? It's a tender word. It's a word of closeness. It's a word that, by the way, I still love my dad. Going to be 79 years old here in a few months. And I love using the word dad. I don't call him my father. He'd probably knock my head off if I did. Now, wait a minute. He not only gives you eternal life and eternal genetics, but he adopts you into the family and says, call me dad. Call me dad. I remember, it's hard to believe, a little over 29 years ago. My in-laws brought my wife back to go to college. And I met my mother-in-law, and they were taking some stuff up to my wife's room and happened to catch my mother-in-law by herself for a second. And I said, Mrs. Cox, I said, I need your permission. She said, for what? And I pulled an engagement ring out of my pocket and showed her and said, may I ask Debbie to marry me? And she stood there and cried and hugged my neck and said, yeah, when are you doing it? I said, as soon as I can. She said, well, you better check with her dad. I put it back in I said, don't you say anything. I said, when he comes back down, we got to go to the car. I'll ask him then, and then I'm going to talk to her. I said, because I know you can't keep it a secret, and neither can I. We laughed about it. He came down. I said, let's go to the car, Dad, and get the rest of the stuff. So we went out there, and I could take you to the very parking spot he was at between the main buildings and the dining hall. He was parked right there. We stood out with the trunk open and told him what I was planning on doing. And he said, well, sure, son, no problem. Good, you can pay for her last year of college. But both of them called me son at that moment. I asked her to marry me, and obviously she said yes. Now, I say that to say this. I also got new parents that day. I was adopted into their family. Now, not legally necessarily, but I was adopted into their family by marriage. Now, watch this. Did you know adoption is as legally binding as birth by blood? In a court of law, adoption is as strong as DNA. It's called filiation, just so you know. And legally speaking, unless someone pursues the undoing of an adoption and both parties agree to it, it's as legally binding as being born by blood. That's been true in virtually every culture of the world for millenniums. For someone to adopt you, it is a big legal issue, and it's not one that's reversed easily, if at all. And I don't mean this unkindly. My wife's sister and brother are actually her half-brother and sister. But did you know they are all equal legally? She talked to her sister yesterday. And she doesn't say, well, that's my half-sister. No, that's her sister. the only sister she knows. Her brother is the only brother she knows. That's her brother. And we treat them that way. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 1. If you want to memorize a verse, if you haven't memorized this one, you ought to. Someday when you're feeling lower than a snake's belly, you ought to quote it. John chapter 1, verse number 12. I love this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Notice the term there, the power. It literally means the power of attorney to be the sons of God. It means you have legal power to be called a son of God. Can I tell you why? Because you've been adopted. Bless God, it doesn't matter that you were born into sin. The moment you got saved, you got born again, but God also adopted you into the family. I don't care if you know both your parents or not. You can tell who your heavenly father is. You'll know who your heavenly parents are. And though your earthly parents may forsake you, your heavenly father will never forsake you, and you can be called the sons of God no matter what. Amen. I can promise you one thing. I'm not looking forward to the day my parents die, but can I tell you something? When they do, I still have a father that's alive. I still have a mama that's alive. They're just changed locations. I'm sitting in the house with the 6 Walters children and his wife here just a couple weeks ago. And one of them said, "Brother Bush, I don't have a daddy here anymore." I said, "He's not here, but you still have a daddy." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, he didn't change position just because he changed locations. He's still your dad. You still should honor and obey him and what he taught you to do." True. I said, "But you also have a heavenly father because you've been saved. And he's telling you what to do in this book, which is the same thing your earthly daddy told you to do. So you better obey both of them. Because how'd you like to get a whooping twice from 2 different daddies?" "Yes, sir." "Shut them down in a hurry." And Jenny was saying, "I got to write that one down." Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Yesterday was the first time I felt just a tinge of sorrow, I guess. I picked up my phone. It was about 2 o'clock, 2:30. I knew I had to leave by about 3:15 to get to the ladies' meeting. I had just finished painting a bunch of junk in the house, and I was sitting there trying to cool down a little bit because the fireplace had the house about 10,000 degrees. And I picked up my phone and thought, you know, I need to call my grandma. Can't do that today. And I took a couple minutes and I said, "Lord, man, I got to talk to her hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I'm so glad I took the opportunity to call her every week. Would you give her a good day in heaven?" And that's what for just a couple minutes, I talked to God about it. That was my phone call now. Say, "What'd you do?" Finished getting ready, got in my car, and called my mom. Can't call grandma. I can call my mom, though. So I called her. I can't even tell you that I was sorrowful or weeping, but it was just such a habit that I picked up my phone and went, "I can't call her. I can dial the number, but she's not going to answer. And if she does, I'm throwing the phone away." That would be a bad connection, let me tell you, for her part. You know what? You're a son or a child of God. Not just because you got saved, but because you got saved, he gave you eternal life, and you'll be with him in heaven someday, but he also adopted you into the family. We live in such a weird world with all the marriage and divorce and kids and stepkids and stepparents and all this other stuff. Can I tell you something? I believe with all my heart, God wants you to accept all of your family, whether it's blood related or not, as your own. "Well, you just don't know my stepkids, or you don't know my stepparents." Can I tell you something? You're supposed to love them whether they love you or not. "Well, you just don't know my mom." I may not know her, but I could still love her whether I agree with her or not. You're supposed to love them. It doesn't mean that you spend all your time with them. But it does mean we ought to break down these barriers. I hate the term step. I do. I hate the word half. I hate the word in-law. Those are three words I just don't use much at all. You say, why? Because if you're in a family situation, a husband and wife, doesn't matter whether you have previous marriages, that family, all that family is one family, no matter how conglomerated it gets. No matter how convoluted it gets, it's family. Period. End of discussion. Can I tell you something? It's a wonderful way to live. I don't have daughter-in-law troubles. She lives in Florida. Now, she has troubles. She's got Josh. And we warned her. He did something not long ago. I heard my wife talking to her. She said, we warned you. We told you. I know. I love him anyway. Well, there's one born every minute. Amen. And I thank God for my daughter-in-law. But may I say this? I don't call her my daughter-in-law. I call her my daughter. A couple years ago, she was here for Mother's Day. She went to the Mother's Day banquet. Do you know I bought her a Mother's Day gift and gave to her? My son told me this last Mother's Day they had lost, I think, their second child. And he said, Dad, do you know she wears that every Mother's Day? And that's her favorite piece of jewelry? I said, yeah, she likes it better than her wedding ring. He said, no, other than that, he said, that piece of jewelry means more to Ruth Ann than you'll ever know. He said, she loved you before, but her relationship with you totally transformed when you brought her in that way. Can I tell you something? She's not my daughter-in-law. She's my daughter. She has all the same rights as Mindy does. I remember the day they got married. After they were married, we were standing in the receiving line. Of course, my wife and I were some of the first ones out there. And when we got out there, she said, Dad, I get to give you my first hug. She walked over and hugged me. Whew. Boy, did that mean a lot. That was exciting. Say why? Because that's my daughter. That's my daughter. Probably my daughter's going to marry the toe-headed idiot. I mean, Brandon. I foresee that. May I tell you something? I've already called him son many a time. Not every time. I got to get him ready. And by the way, I put him through enough the first year. I figured if I couldn't chase him off, he might be worth at least investigating. And he's a good kid. They had their Christmas banquet last night, so they got all, the whole college got all dolled up and duded up, and you know, the girls spend 14 hours on their hair to get it look like they stuck it in a light socket or something. I don't know. How in the world that somebody can spend that much time on hair, I still don't know. But they do, and they enjoy it. God knows if I had to sit in a chair and have somebody work that much on my head, just shave the stupid thing off. Now, wait a minute. My daughter sent pictures last night. And my daughter looked beautiful. Now, he's still ugly. I don't care. And I said, left half of the picture is beautiful. The other half, throw it away. Daddy, quit that. This morning, I texted Brandon. And I said, my daughter sure looked beautiful last night. He said, yes, sir. I said, but I'm the only one allowed to hug her right now. He said, I know. Can I tell you something? If they do someday get married, he'll be as much my son as Josh and Jeff. I'll make it that way. Now, he didn't believe that at first. By the way, he's been adopted by a family. His real mom's in a nursing home with multiple sclerosis, MS. She's had it for years. Got adopted by a bus family. He was a bus kid, and family that ran the bus route adopted him. Man, you talk about fun. Can I tell you something? That's the way we're supposed to love. We're supposed to love our Christian brothers the same way. That means when one hurts, we all hurt. That one means when one has a need, we all have a need. That means when somebody's down, we're there to pick them up. And when someone's up, we encourage them and keep lifting them up, not wish we had what they had. Number four, and I'm done. His spirit bears witness with our spirit to prove we're in his family. Can I tell you something? You never, ever, 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 ever have to doubt your salvation.
That's right.
Never. I'm going to show you how you never, ever have to wonder about it ever again. You ready? Look at verse number. And by the way, none of us are worthy to be in God's family. Did you know you're not worthy to be in the family of God? Sure. Your sin disqualified you, but he chose you and adopted you in anyway. Look at verse 16. The Spirit, notice the capital S there. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit bears witness in your spirit that you are a child of God. You say, how do we know that the Spirit's bearing witness with our spirit? Because he's indwelling you. The fact that he is able to speak to you means your spirit is alive. And because your spirit is alive, it means you were born again. The Holy Spirit cannot speak to something that is dead and it do anything. If you went to the Rosedale Cemetery right now and stood at the top of a grave or stood at the funeral parlor there and looked into a casket of a dead person and start talking to them, it doesn't matter what you say. They don't hear it. They're dead. And even if the Holy Spirit wanted to talk to somebody, if they're not saved, they're dead. The fact that the Holy Spirit can speak to you is proof. It's bearing witness that you are a child of God. Because without it, without the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit, guess what? You're not saved. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit will not make you feel anything. Did you know none of us are worthy to be a child of God? None of us are worthy to be royalty. Good night. Do you know who your father really is? Brother Stoltz, your father is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the God of all creation. And you got adopted into his family. You talk about being in tall cotton. You talk about being out of your league. You're out of your league when God is your father. But may I say something to you? His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
Watch this. I love this. The Holy Spirit will give us confidence to fit into God's family, though. He'll give us the wherewithal to fit in to God's family. You say, how does he do it? By the truths of the Word of God. You know, God will not work outside of that book right there. He'll follow his word. And the Holy Spirit is God. He'll show you, he'll guide you, he'll give you comfort through the words which God gave you. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Whatever it requires for you to live, God has given it to you in the words of God. And God wants you to have that. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God, and he does it through the truth of the word of God. He does it by the truth of preaching. Be careful who you listen to preaching. If they're not preaching the truth, stay away from them.
That's right.
I'm warning you. I don't care how suave and debonair they sound on the radio. If they're using the wrong Bible, quit listening to them.
Right.
They're not giving you truth. They're giving you man's words, not God's words.
Yeah, right.
Everybody doing all right?
Yeah.
Do you know what other versions of the Bible are? Those are man's words.
That's right.
If I took your checkbook and wrote a check and I signed your name to it with my signature, it's called a forgery.
Right?
Right? Guess what? The NIV, the New King James, the ASV, the M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E version, all the rest of them, those are forgeries.
Yes, sir.
Those are man's forgeries of God's word.
Amen.
They're stealing God's words, and they won't give life. There's never been a major revival preached anywhere in the world outside of the King James Bible or its equivalent. Never. That means this. He'll lead you and he'll convict you. Have you ever been about to do something you weren't supposed to do and the Holy Spirit says, hey, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't think that. Don't do that. Or you were supposed to do something and you didn't want to do it and he says, you're supposed to do that. Oh, I hate that. You're somewhere and the Lord says, why don't you go talk to that person? Because I don't want to. But I want you to. But I don't want to. But I want you to. But I don't want to. I do that every time I go soul winning. Then I knock on that door. Lord, help them not to be home. But all of a sudden, something snaps inside of me when I hear that those footsteps. And when I muster enough strength and courage up to say, I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. Do y'all get to go to church anywhere regular? We begin to talk. My wife and I were at a business, I think I said this on Monday this week. And as a matter of fact, Jessie called me while I was there. And she was asking me a medical question. It was hilarious. And I stepped away because the lady was working on some numbers on the computer or something. And I was talking to Jessie about all of her drugs and, antibiotics and stuff. And I got done. The lady said, she came out and she had all of her numbers together. And she said, so you're a doctor. I said, no, ma'am, I'm just a Baptist preacher. And I reached out and gave her a gospel tract. She said, oh, well, I heard you. Well, I guess pastors do have to know an awful lot about medicine because you deal with sick people. I said, yes, ma'am. If you've ever been to my church, it's full of sick people. And we laughed about it for a second. And she saw on the card, says doctor. She said, well, you are a doctor. I said, yeah, not that kind. I thought, I need to introduce her to Hmong. That was the Lord. You know, I really didn't feel like reaching in my pocket and handing her a gospel tract. It'd been a whole lot easier to say, yeah, I'm a doctor. But then it opened up the door for a conversation about church. And we stood there and talked about church. And I may get her in church over this. Did my flesh want to do that? I wasn't there to do that. Sometimes he convicts. He'll help you fit in as a child of God, help you behave right, help you dress right, help you act right, help you be what you should be as a child of God. Did you know that because you're a child of God, you're not supposed to be like the father, the devil? Everybody doing all right? Sometimes we act more like our earthly father, the devil, than we do our heavenly father, the God of this creation. He doesn't make us be his child. He teaches us how to behave like God's child. The Holy Spirit's not going to force you to do anything. Brother Stoltz, the Holy Spirit's never come up and said, all right, you're going to go do this. All right? He's never done that to any person in this room or anybody else in the world. You doing okay? I didn't hurt you, did I? I know you're a little bit of a wimp. Now, wait a minute. You know, God never forces you to do anything. The Holy Spirit doesn't force you to do anything, but there'll be this still small voice inside of you telling you what you should or should not do. You'll open your Bible and read it and say, that's the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit that we're his children. That means it doesn't matter how you see it, how does God see it? Doesn't matter whether I like this, it matters whether does God like this. You know, there were things I liked that my dad did not like. There are things my dad likes that I don't like. He can eat all the peas and beets he wants and squash. I'm not doing it. I eat all I want too. None. And after I got old enough, tell my dad, I don't have to eat those, and I'm not going to eat those, because I was out of the house. Well, I just don't. Well, there's things I eat that you don't like. Well, yeah, well, then don't criticize me. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean I have to hate it, and just because you like it doesn't mean I have to like it. I like chicken livers and chicken hearts. I love them. I'd rather eat that than just the regular chicken. My wife makes chicken now, and somebody in our church gave me about 30 or 40 pounds of chicken hearts and chicken livers. It was great. Thank you, Ashley. Every time I eat them just about, I'll text her and say, man, I just ate these. Man, they're, and she'll go, ew, especially since she's pregnant. I love them. I do. I can eat them. I can eat them any way you fix them. Now, don't give me the stupid gizzards. That's like chewing on a knuckle or something, you know. Now, wait a minute. Just because I like them, my wife, she ain't touching them. She will not eat those things to save her life. Now, I love them. She'll eat things, though, that I don't want to eat. She likes squash. She likes pumpkin pie. I don't like any kind of squash. I don't like sweet potatoes. I don't like squash. I don't like yams. I don't like pumpkin. It's all related. Forget it. If it looks like it came out of a diaper, I don't want to put it in my mouth. Period. I just ruined somebody's lunch today, I'm sure. Now, wait a minute. I thank God that he gave us different tastes, but guess what? I didn't get disowned just because of that. God teaches us how to behave. You know, my wife will tell you this. We've been places. I've been to people's homes, and I watched what they brought out for us to eat, and she'll look at me. You don't like that. Nobody in the house knew but her that I didn't like that. I got it down the hatch. I can't tell you I enjoyed it, but I got it down. It stayed down. Thank God some of them had dogs at their house. Here you go, puppy. Man's best friend, a dog that'll eat what you won't eat. Amen? God loves us so much after we get saved. We not only get a second birth, but we get an adoption. We're adopted into God's family as well as born for eternity. And he takes you away from your earthly father, the devil. Your earthly father has no legal right on you. You know, the devil can't do anything to me that I don't allow him to do. He has no legal representation for me. He has no legal access to me. Just like her biological dad has no legal right to anything that she has. Say why? Because she got adopted. That adoption superseded it. Thank God I get to be born twice and adopted once. And as a child of God, you got born twice and adopted once. Not only that, you get to inherit what Jesus inherits. It says that we become heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Did you know that everything that's available to Jesus Christ is available to you because you're equal with him in God's eyes as one of the children of God? Wow. Brother Larry, I have access to everything Jesus has access to. What a great thing. And you know the best part of it? We don't have to wait for God to die because he's never going to die. That means we have access to it now. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, God doesn't always give us that which is going to hurt us. Well, if I only had $1 million, this is what I would do. Well, obviously, God didn't trust you with it or he'd given it to you. I know he didn't trust me with it. But guess what? They're going to pave the streets with gold in heaven. The tar is going to be pure gold. Glory to God. And we won't have any potholes in it. I was going to say we'd make Hillary clean it, but she's going to be somewhere else. She's going to be in the furnace heating it up so that it gets refined. Amen. Huh. You get born twice and adopted once as a child of God. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Let me ask you a question. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven someday?